Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for Sunday. Lord, early this morning when we woke up, there was just something different. We knew it was Sunday. We knew it was your day, and we knew we had church. And thank you for giving us our church. Lord, never again in history will this exact group of people assemble the same way. But I pray that we would get from you today what you have for us. Holy Spirit of God, work through our preacher. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I often preach sermons to help our church in the bearing of our burdens. Recently, a man of God contacted me, and he said, Brother Owens, a dream has come true for me. He said, I got to come to your church. By the way, I thought he maybe had come to the OPAS conference and he was thrilled at the conference and all the excitement that went along with it. I said, were you at the OPAS conference? He said, yes, but that wasn't the dream. I said, maybe did you bring a group of ladies to the East Coast Ladies Conference, which is fast growing and becoming one of the largest ladies conference in the United States of America, 131 churches this last year, and I thought maybe that was it. And he said, no, he said, that wasn't it. He said, I got to sit in the pews with your people on a Sunday morning. He said, I had hoped that you would preach one of those sermons where you told us that you loved us. I had hoped that when I was there, you'd preach one of those sermons where you made life a little easier to handle because of the heaviness that comes upon us. And he said, I want to thank you. Somehow, that morning, you preached one of those sermons, and my dream has been fulfilled. He said, I wanted one time in my life to be there and sit with the people on one of those days when you helped to carry our burdens. May I say to everybody in this place, both visitors and those that attend this church, I do want to help you to carry the hardships of life. Someone said any man who will preach to help the brokenhearted will never lack a crowd. The load of a burden-bearing church. Listen, you know, a church our size, there's an awful lot of burdens. Because the burdens are the people, and the more people, the more the burdens. And so the load of a burden bearing, or the load of bearing the burdens of a church this size is heavy. Today, I don't know that I exactly will talk to you about your burden, but I do want to maybe recruit you to help me. We have many people in our church, almost 1,100 people in Sunday school this very morning. I have to tell you, one man cannot bear the heartache and the burden of that many. Oh, it takes our God. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. But wait a minute. It takes a group of people within the church that want to help to bear one another's burdens. I want all of us to bear the burdens of the rest of us. And let me say to you, if you're not the burden one today, you will probably be the burden one someday. And maybe if while you're up and strong, you could help somebody that's down and weak. Your day will come when you will be down and weak and somebody else will be up and strong and they can help you. I guess what I want to do today is I want to give us a little burden-bearing training. I want to talk to you about bearing people's burdens. And a passage of Scripture that's all about that. All about the bearing of one another's burdens. I'm going to read two verses to you that we read together earlier. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, the Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I sign Bibles with that verse. That's my life's verse. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, just a couple verses later in Galatians 6, verse number 5, it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Now, if you listened to what you were reading with Brother Bush earlier, as you read from Galatians 6, 1, all the way through Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, you would know the whole context there is about burdens. It starts out saying we've got to bear one another's burdens. It talks about how we become burdened in life and how we face difficulties. Stay with me, if you will, this morning as I preach a sermon that I've entitled Proper Burden Bearing. Proper Burden Bearing. Paul is directed by God to pen these words here in Galatians chapter 6. Paul is placing a microscope on the subject of burdens. Paul advises the Galatian people to think of the burdens of others. By bearing the burden of others, we will fulfill the law of Christ, it said there. You hear what it said? "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We, of course, are not under what we would consider the Old Testament law, but we are under what I'll call the law of love. You say, what is the law of Christ spoken of here in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2? Let me read to you what the law of Christ is in Galatians 6, 2. Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40 says this, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We know this. We've heard this. God is love. And here, we're being told that if you want to fulfill the law of Christ, you need to be like God. And if God is love, you and I need to make sure that we love one another and that we love our neighbors. The law of Christ is love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Burden bearing is an act of love. Let me say this to you. Folks, you hear this, and I've said this to you before. The word love is a verb. When you see God telling us to love in the Bible, the word love there is a word of action. You can tell someone you love them, but there's supposed to be movement in regard to proving it. Saying you love but not doing something about it, there is a tremendous misunderstanding on your part. Love is not just a word. It is a word that moves us to action. The absence of burden bearing then equals an absence of love. If you love someone, you want to help bear their burden. You and I walk around this great congregation. If we say to someone, "I love you," and we talk about loving our Christian brother, if we really love, then we're going to help bear one another's burdens. The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What law of Christ? Loving your neighbor as you would love yourself. And so if you and I are truly going to be like Jesus, if we're truly going to be like God, if we truly want to fulfill the law of Christ, we must love and we must bear one another's burdens. The Bible then says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 5, same passage, it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Well, wait a minute. You say, Brother Owens, just a moment ago, it said we should bear one another's burdens. Now it's saying every man should bear his own burden. Is this a contradiction? Not in the slightest. Just so you understand, there are no contradictions at all in the book that God wrote. None at all. None at all. Here the Bible's telling us every man should plan to bear his own burden. I need to plan on bearing my own burden. You need to plan on bearing your own burden. Then God commands others to try to help us bear that burden. The man with a burden may become presumptuous if he's not careful and expect or demand others to bear his burden for him. Now let me tell you something. In this stingy world, you would be shocked at how many people require and demand that somebody bear their burden. So God tells of the individual's responsibility to bear his own burden. Let me say it again. Jeff Owens is to bear Jeff Owens' burden. Craig Bush is to bear Craig Bush's burden. Now, if God speaks to Jeff Owens' heart to go and help Craig Bush bear his burden, so be it. And let me say to everybody in here, you need to bear your burden. I need to bear my burden. But within the hearts of God's people, the Holy Spirit of God comes along and says, now, there's somebody out there bearing their own burden, and I expect you, Christian, to go and try to help them. Folks, listen, receiving help with my burden is a gift from God and is a gift from man, but I do not have the right to demand that. If I've got a burden, I can't say, where's that Craig Bush at? Why is he not down here helping me with this burden? You bear your own burden and let God speak to the hearts of people and let them run to your aid. We need to be very, very careful. We live in a society of almost a welfare mentality where we demand that somebody do something for us. God said, I've given you a Bible. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've given you some things that will help you to bear your burden. And you ought to plan on bearing it yourself. But thank God, he said, and then I'll coach some people and I'll rouse some people and I'll rally some people to come help you. That's why it says every man should bear his own burden. But wait a minute, the rest of us should want to fulfill the law of Christ and run to your aid and try to help you. But you shouldn't be sitting there on your rocking chair and do nothing, just waiting for someone to come along and help you bear that burden. Do the best you can. Bear your burden the best you can by yourself. But then God sends aid and helps you. God, in Galatians chapter 6, God gives us instructions about burden bearing. There's a right and a wrong way of bearing burdens. All that we do should be done to the glory of God. And I think all of us, hey, everybody here should make a decision today. Let this sermon move you to decide that you want to be a burden bearer. Would anybody describe you as a burden bearer for other Christians? Now God tells us we should, he said, we should bear the burdens of others. Why? So fulfill the law of Christ. What law? That law of love. Hey, would anybody describe you as a burden bearer? Listen, folks, don't just come to church to get. Come to church to give something. Now, you come here, I'll help bear your burden. And you'll find others that will help bear your burden. But may I recommend to you that when you walk on the property, you not only come with your hands stretched out to help, but you come with your heart ready to help somebody else with their burden. That's good Christianity. I'm going to show you some things if I could. I want to talk to you about this idea of proper burden bearing. Number one, there are some wrong attitudes that people develop about the burdens of others. You know, we can develop a wrong or a bad, and I mean even to the point of having a sinful attitude about other people that are under stress or other people that are bearing burdens. The Bible says there again, Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens. We're supposed to do it. God told us to do it. This does not say, again, let others bear your burden. You know, you're going to help. Hey, somebody here today need to get your eyes off of your burden. See if you could go help somebody else. See if there's somebody that you could help. We need to help others bear their burden. Now, here's what happens to us. One of those attitudes that could be wrong is where you and I were, hey, the human race is pretty stingy. The human race is pretty self-centered. The human race is pretty concerned about old number one. And some of us walk around all the time expecting that the whole Bible was written for our benefit and we weren't supposed to go do something for somebody else. You need to be very, very careful. This old book was written to get you to go do something for someone else, not just to get somebody to do something for you.
And so we can almost develop an attitude that when God mentions a burden, he's talking about mine, and somebody needs to run to my aid, and somebody needs to come help me, and somebody needs to carry my load. Hey, you need to decide that the Bible was written to get you to go help carry somebody else's load. Listen to this. We are not to despise people for having heavy burdens. Did you know that we can become disgusted? We can just virtually become disgusted with people because of some of the decisions they make in life. Now, I'm for making good decisions. And I know there are times when people make decisions and you're thinking, good night, what's wrong with them? I mean, are they a brick short of a load? What were they thinking? Now, let me tell you something. We all think that thought from time to time when people make decisions that bring burdens upon themselves. But let me recommend, we not despise people that have burdens. You'll never learn to be a burden bearer if everything that people do irritate you. So you're just always irritated. Always irritated. You're smarter than someone else. You've got a little better training than someone else. And everybody that has a burden, they get on your nerves. You're disgusted with them. Well, let me tell you something. There's somebody that's better trained than you and smarter than you. And they probably get a little disgusted with you along the way. Hey, we sometimes become disgusted with people. Do you get angry with people because of their burdens? I have to work on this. Jeff Owens has got to constantly work on Jeff Owens. I'll tell you why. I spend my entire life warning people about not hurting themselves, warning people. I don't want you to cause yourself self-inflicted burdens. I don't want you to bring heartaches upon yourself. Can I tell you why I preach so hard on sin? I know what sin will do to you. Yeah, I'm the kind of preacher that I'm not only against sin, I'm against the things that will lead to the sin. You say, why? If I can keep you off the pathway of wrong, I'll never find you in the basement or the cellar of wrong, down there living in the darkness and the gloom of what you've done wrong. Hey, I'll stand at the end of the road that leads to destruction and say, don't even start down this road. Don't even go that way. Why? I want to protect you. I want to keep you safe. I want to make sure you're safe. And when you're a pastor like I am that warns and warns and warns and warns, and I say, don't do it, don't go there, don't do it, don't go there, don't do it, don't go there. And then when you turn around and I preached on it on Sunday and said, whatever you do, don't do this. And then on Monday you do it anyway. I've got to watch it because there are times I want to say, so be it. Let the knucklehead rock. Are you like me? Parents? Bleed, boy! I told you not to climb your bicycle up on top of that trash can. Bleed! Get out of the can yourself, boy. Listen to me. I don't think you'll never be a burden bearer if burdens disgust you. You're always disgusted and always angry about burdens. Hey, and the tendency is there. I mean, that tendency to be disgusted or angry, it's there. But you're going to have to catch yourself and come to yourself and say, hey, even though they didn't listen, did you know that somebody that disobeys the preaching, when they fall and hurt themselves, it hurts just as bad as somebody that had never been taught what to do and what not to do that falls. We've got to be careful. You see, there are some wrong attitudes that you and I can develop about the burdens of others. We can get the idea that everybody's just supposed to come bear our burdens. We can get the idea that we're to be disgusted or angry with people when they create burdens in their lives. Not only that, we're not to go through life just obviously ignoring other people's burdens. You know, I think there are some that don't get involved in the ministries of the church because to get involved in the ministries of the church, they would come up against the burdens and heartaches of others, and they really don't want that. And that's sad for Christians because the Lord said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, folks, don't hide from your responsibility to get involved and help somebody. Don't hide. Don't go through life with your eyes closed. It would be a good idea for every born-again Christian under the sound of my voice, when you hear that somebody has a burden, it'd be a good idea to care. It'd be a good idea to want to help. It'd be a good idea to want to get involved. I would rather have 10 people running to somebody's aid than nobody. And again, we get so self-centered that we think, I've got enough to take care of on my own. God wants you to get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on somebody else. And every Christian here, we should not ignore the burdens of others. You say, but Brother Owens, monetarily, I could not help that person right there with their burden. Hey, can you pray? Can you care? Can you do a little something? It's almost as if we're embarrassed to do what we can. Listen, you say, I know somebody and they don't have any food in their refrigerator at all, and they're starving. And then you look at yours and you say, I don't have, all I can give them is a can of beans. We're almost embarrassed that we can't go to the store and buy them $100 worth of groceries, so we ignore the burden. I say, give them the beans. I say, give them the beans. We praise the widow and her two mites, and we say that she gave what she could. Hey, Christians, let's drop our own self-image. Let's become burden bearers, and let's stop using the excuse, I can't solve all their problems, so I won't save any. And my little contribution to helping them is going to embarrass me. Get your eyes off yourself. Give them the beans. Give them the beans, Christian. Lose your own self-image and say, I just want to help. I want to care. Can I tell you something? Hey, let's say somebody needed $100 worth of groceries and you couldn't do it, but wonder if 100 other Christians said, I'll give them a can of beans. I'll give them a can of corn. I'll give them some green beans. I can only give them one pack of hot dogs. 100 people could feed somebody if we do what we could. If we do what we could. You see, there are wrong attitudes that people develop about this thing of burdens and the burdens of others. We get to thinking that it's, you know, the bearing of the burden is all about me. Somebody do something for me. No, you get your eyes on somebody else. Then we get to thinking we almost despise them and get angry at them for that burden. And then we obviously ignore, and maybe it's because we're embarrassed at how little we can help. I thank God the men that come to our men's prayer breakfast on Saturday mornings, we'll remember this. Almost every Saturday morning, Brother Damian Segura, one of our good men, makes this request. He'll say, preacher, pray today that I can meet the need of someone that crosses my path. Every Saturday. Saturday after Saturday after Saturday. Hey, Christian, that'd be a good prayer for you. How about every week of your life you say, oh dear God, help me to meet the need, whether it be big or small, help me to meet the need of somebody today. But don't live oblivious to the fact that people have needs. We can develop wrong attitudes about this thing of burden bearing. Listen, we're not to go around spying out people's self-inflicted burdens. Yeah. Spying out. The self-inflicted burdens. You say, what do you mean by self-inflicted? I'm talking about where people maybe don't make good decisions or people do things that they shouldn't, and as a result of it, some hardship comes upon them. You see, here's what we do. We think if somebody brought it upon themselves, if we can search out and find out that it is a self-inflicted error, we can escape being a help to them. Hey, look, if they caused it, let them suffer. Now, just so you know, we all cause ourselves plenty of grief in life. We all have caused ourselves a lot of grief in life. And Jesus comes along and says, I'll even help you with the stupid things you've done to yourself. And sometimes we almost spy out. We're looking for it. We're analyzing it. We're trying to figure out what they did and why they don't need your help. Are you trying to justify or figure out a way to get out of helping people? Now listen to me. I'm a Christian, and I'm to be looking for ways to help people, not looking for ways to get out of helping people. So someone can't pay their bills, and you've seen them down at McDonald's eating a hamburger. And you said, well, I'm not going to give them any money down there wasting their money on McDonald's hamburgers. Well, how do you know somebody didn't give them a coupon because they cared enough about them to try to feed them and you didn't care enough? And since we're on it, why don't we just talk about how well you use your money? Let's talk about how much yours you've wasted. And there were times when you said, I'm just not going to make it. Does anybody care? Well, how much money have you wasted in life? Maybe God ought to cut you off when he looks down and he sees how luxuriously you have lived and eaten and wasted money. Maybe God ought to cut you off and say, I know every fact about every penny they've ever spent. They don't qualify for hell. I say to you, Christian, there are attitudes that we develop that can be terrible attitudes about this thing of being burden bearers. Someone has been fired from their job, and you watch, and you know they arrive late for work every day, and they deserve it, and let them starve to death. Now, I think somebody ought to be on time for work every day. I think you ought to have character, and if you're going to be late for things all the time, you're going to get fired. It's a bad testimony. But I can tell you this, that man that was late for work every day and got fired, it's not his wife's fault. It's not his kid's fault. And I'll feed his kids and wife.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You see, we develop an attitude. And you know what happens? We get a little character about ourselves. We get a little success about ourselves. You had a good mom and dad that trained you. Well, you had some benefits of life. You know, there's some things that have gone your way in life, and if we're not careful, all the things that create or have caused us to succeed almost hurt us when we look at others that have not had those opportunities. Watch our attitude. We'll never become proper burden bearers unless we understand it. This thing of bearing burdens, it's not all about what somebody can do for me. I'm not looking to despise people that got themselves into messes. I'm not looking to get out of helping them. I'm looking to get into helping them. I'm not trying to spy out what's wrong with them. Let me tell you this. Here's another thing that'll keep you from becoming a burden bearer if you're a gossip about others' burdens. Are you a gossip about somebody else's burden? How about their sin-produced burdens? You know, that if we sin, we're going to end up in trouble. If we sin, we put a blot on our reputation, even for ourselves and for God. But I'll tell you what happens. Somebody gets into a mess and they sin, and there's a burden that comes. Did you know that every one of us that sin against God, there's a burden, there's a heaviness on our heart when we sin against Him? But somehow we think it's okay to gossip about the sin-produced burdens of people, especially if they're guilty. You say, it's okay for me to talk about what that lady did because she's guilty. We're all guilty. And Christians shouldn't be going around talking about the sins of Christians. You want to talk about the sin of another Christian, you do it on your knees to your God because he's the only one that can do anything about it. Whatever sin they're guilty of today, you may be guilty of it next week, and you say, well, I would never. Honey, child, you're about the next one that'll go down because you're so cocky and arrogant, you don't understand how sinful you really are. Anything that one human being could do, you are capable of it. You say, but I know they're guilty. Well, okay, they're guilty. We've all been guilty at one time or another. You'll never become a true burden bearer until you can keep your mouth shut about the self-inflicted burdens of people that they bring upon themselves by their sin. Sometimes we just need to shut our mouth about someone's sin. Hey, we're not to hope that others will have burdens. Do you hope that somebody fails? I almost get disgusted with people in what we call fundamentalism. They just want people to fall. They want people to be destroyed. I don't. You take, for instance, we need every independent fundamental, the King James Bible-believing pastor out there. We need them to succeed. We want them to succeed. We all want them to succeed. Hey, don't you hope that somebody else has a heartache?
Good.
You'll never be a burden bearer if you hope somebody has a heartache or if you hope that somebody fails. Listen, you'll never be a burden bearer like you ought to be if you want your enemy to fail.
That's right. Boy, that's
I want my enemies to have a happy life.
Yes.
And I have a little list in my desk drawer of people that virtually hate me, and I don't know why. They don't know me well, because to know me is to love me. I got a little list of names of some people that I don't know why. I mean, they just hate me. And I pray for them every day that their hatred for me doesn't ruin their day. And that they'll be happily married. And that their kids turn out right. That they make it. And that they're successful. And you listen to me, my friend. It's time for Christians to grow up. You don't hear me. Hey, you know, let's say somebody left our church in a negative way. You don't hear me going around attacking them all the time. You don't hear this preacher doing that. Now, they may say things bad about me in my church, but you don't hear me going around doing that. I don't do that. I don't want to do that. I love those people. And every last one of us should not go around hoping that somebody fails. Wait a minute. How can you be a burden bearer if you hope somebody fails? Do you hope they go to jail? Do you hope that they get a divorce? Do you hope that they overdose on the drugs that they know they should not be taking? Do you hope that they become an alcoholic when you told them to stop drinking and they keep on doing it? You say, well, I just hope that thing tears them to shreds. I know. I don't. Do you hope for the judgment? I hope God judges them. You better leave that to God. You better just hope the mercy and the grace that's kept you going keeps them going. We as Christians can take some very wrong attitudes about the burdens of others. Oh, you say, Brother Owens, I've had a burden. I've had a rough day. You think you have a rough day? Let me read this to you. This comes from a Florida newspaper. A man was working on his motorcycle on his patio, and his wife was in the house in the kitchen. The man was racing the engine of his motorcycle somehow, and the motorcycle slipped into gear. The man, still holding the handlebars, was dragged through a glass patio door along with the motorcycle, and it dumped him and the motorcycle on the floor inside the house. The wife, hearing the crash, ran into the dining room and found her husband laying on the floor, cut and bleeding, the motorcycle lying next to him, and the patio door was shattered. The wife ran to the phone and summoned the ambulance. Because they lived on a fairly large hill, the wife went down several flights of stairs to the street to direct the paramedics to her husband. After the ambulance arrived and transported the husband to the hospital, the wife uprights the motorcycle and pushes it aside. Seeing that gas is spilled out on the floor, the wife obtained some paper towels, blotted up the gasoline, and threw the towels in the toilet. The wife was treated at the hospital, or the husband was treated at the hospital and was released to come home. After arriving home, he looked at the shattered patio door and the damage that was done to his motorcycle. He became a little depressed and went into the restroom and had a seat. He smoked a cigarette. After flushing the cigarette, he flipped it, or after smoking his finishing his cigarette, he flipped the butt between his legs, and the toilet blew up on him. The wife, who was in the kitchen, heard a loud explosion and her husband screaming. She ran into the bathroom and found her husband lying on the floor. His trousers had been blown away, and he was suffering burns on the lower part of his body. The wife again ran to the phone to call for the ambulance for the second time in the day. The same ambulance crew was dispatched, and the wife met them at the street. The paramedics located the husband and put him on a stretcher and began carrying him to the street. While they were going down the stairs to the street, accompanied by the man's wife, one of the paramedics asked how the husband had burned himself. She told them the paramedics started laughing so hard, they tipped the stretcher, dumped the husband out, and he broke his arm. That's a true story. And you think you had a rough week. You know, Christianity, the solution to Christianity is far simpler than what we realize. The solution to Christianity is not all about me, me, me. It's all about others, others, others. And we develop some attitudes about people and their burdens and their heartaches. Christians should not be looking for a way out of helping others. They ought to be looking for a way in to helping others. Now you say, Brother Owens, well, what's the proper attitude then? We've talked about some of the incorrect attitudes. Well, let me give you some proper attitudes about bearing the burdens of other people. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Notice it said they're overtaken in a fault. Last Sunday night, I preached a sermon about that particular verse. You see, what's happening is somebody here was running along, and the Bible says they were overtaken in a fault. So they were running along, they had some faulty footing, and they stumbled, or they became backslidden. You see, you and I are to restore someone that falls and hurts themselves. And that's what we're supposed to do. Folks, you say, but wonder if they sin. Let me explain. The Bible's very clear on this. You and I are to hate sin. We are to hate sin with a passion. Your liberal theologians say, well, it's love, 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 and they're all about love. Now, I believe God is love, and I believe we're supposed to love, but we're not supposed to love sin. We're to hate sin. We're to hate sin with a passion. But wait, we hate sin, but we love the sinner. We are not trying to condone their sin. We're against sin. We don't want you to sin. Stop your sin. Stop the things that God told you not to do. But we love you, and we care about you. We are to restore someone to usefulness. That's what you and I are supposed to do. The right attitude is, here's somebody that has been overtaken in a fall. Ye that are spiritual, that means if you're not willing to help people that have been overtaken in a fall, you're not spiritual. Notice what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one. You don't qualify for spirituality in this case if you're not willing to help somebody that's messed up. I'll tell you something. It takes work to help people that have messed up. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes investment. Some people would rather not do that. So first of all, we are to help bear the burdens that come upon others, even as a result of their own sin. Secondly, we're to help bear the burden that comes upon others as a result of their high opinion of themselves. The passage from which we're reading is Galatians chapter 6. Let me read to you verse number 3. We read it earlier. It says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What is it talking about here? It's talking about restoring people that have messed up their lives. Can I tell you one of the reasons why we mess up our lives so repetitively? Because of our pride. Yes. And here it says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he's deceived himself. It's talking about people that are falling, people that are getting out of the will of God, people that are falling out of the church, people that are falling out of service for God. And it said, here you've got somebody that they thought that they were bigger, they were more important than what they really were. There's some conceit involved here. Their pride has caused them to fall. And that pride has created a burden in their life. But God said, if you're spiritual, you'll even help the cocky, arrogant ones that thought they were more important than what they really were. And you're going to help them to get back on track. See, you take a good long look at the Bible, and you'll see some people that their pride got the best of them. Thank God, God wants to restore us even from our pride. Huh? Even from our pride. Here's somebody, they think they're more important to the church than what they really are. And they fall. God said, you ought to give them another chance and see if you can rebuild them. Let me tell you all something. Did you know the church will go on with or without you? It'll go on. You just check through the centuries. You say, well, if I leave the church, I'll tell you what will happen. She'll collapse. No, she won't.
Right.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We need to be careful that we don't get to seeing ourselves as more lofty than what we ought to. We're liable to fall flat on our face. But here, this is about burden bearing. We ought to be willing to help the cocky, arrogant ones that think they're God's gift to the church and nobody recognized their ability or recognized their talent. So they walk off and let God. They'll need rebuilt too. They'll need rebuilt too. You know, it was Peter that told Jesus in his pride. He said, others may deny you, Jesus, but not me. And just a few hours later, he is denying. But thank God somebody rebuilt cocky, arrogant Peter because he was used to preach to 3,000 on Pentecost. What would have happened if somebody wouldn't have rebuilt the cocky, arrogant, maverick Peter? Think about it. Think about it. What would have happened if everybody would have said, Peter, every time you talk, you're arrogant, you're full of pride, and you're cocky, and nobody's going to help you. Somebody help Peter get back on his feet. And God used Peter to preach to 3,000 on Pentecost.
Yes.
Those who place themselves in situations of temptation because they think they're strong enough, they're going to need some help being rebuilt.
Right.
They're going to need someone to help bear their burden. And so I say to you, there's a proper way for you and I to bear other people's burdens. We, if somebody's been overtaken in a fall, we ought to hate their sin but love them. When there are those that their arrogance and their pride have hurt them and destroyed them, we ought to try to help them so that they too can have their burden bore. We're to help bear the burden of those who will bear their own burden, the Bible teaches. The same passage of Scripture, Galatians 6:4 says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Here the Bible is talking about the burden bearing. It says that a man ought to prove his own work. What's it talking about? It said when you've got a burden, you ought to be working on your own burden. You ought to be working to carry your own heartache. You ever heard the old saying that God helps them that help themselves? If you just sat there expecting somebody to run to your aid, I don't see where God's real obligated for him to step in and do something for you when you could have done something for yourself.
Right.
Now, you've got to at least do something. You need to ask yourself, what can I do about this? I have found that God usually kicks in when man's kicked out. In other words, when man's done all he can, that leads it to God. But to everybody here, let's make sure that we do what we can before we expect somebody else to come and do something for us. Hey, what's a proper attitude about burden bearing? We're to help them bear their burdens that come as a result of the reaping process. The same passage, Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Bear ye one." It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." You know what that means? That means when you do wrong, if you sow to your flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. If you do wrong, there's going to be some wrong come your way.
Right.
Now listen, we're talking about burden bearing here in Galatians chapter 6. I don't think God tells us not to care about somebody when they're reaping.
Right.
I don't think the Bible teaches don't care about them, they're reaping. Hypocrites say, well, they brought it on. Let them suffer the consequences. Now, they will suffer the consequences. Yes, they will. But I'm going to love somebody when they're going through a tough time. You say they brought it on. Okay, they need somebody to love them. They brought it on. Yes, they did. They will suffer the consequences. They will. Hey, God is a just God, and if somebody did wrong and God said, you are going to reap what you have sown, they will indeed reap what they have sown, because that is a promise from God to them. But I'll tell you something. You're looking at a preacher, when somebody is reaping what they have sown, I want to be there to help them if I can. I'm not trying to get them out of the reaping process. That's up to God. I just want to be there to hold their hand while they go through it if I can. You know, you take, well, somebody borrowed too much and now they can't make their mortgage payment. Now listen, folks, you hear me throw a fit about this constantly. Don't borrow too much. But you say, it's too late. I already did. Well, you know, if I had money, I'd help you. I don't, but I can tell you this. I care about you. And I want you to be able to make your mortgage payment. And I want to love you through it. You say, preacher, I'm embarrassed to come and get advice. Don't you be. Don't you be. I want to help you. You see, what happens is when somebody goes to reaping, those that are not spiritual, they say, okay, they're reaping, let's all leave them alone. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. I think the Bible teaches when somebody's reaping, you ought to be loving them while they're reaping. It's a pretty tough thing to go through the judgment of God all by yourself. You see, we should help bear their burden. We should do it with a humble attitude. Notice what it said. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. You see, we are helping people that are reaping and helping people that have brought sin upon themselves or consequences upon themselves or maybe a burden in life that they didn't bring upon themselves. We better help them with meekness and humility. Why? Because we may have a burden of like magnitude come upon us, and we're going to want somebody to be patient and kind with us. I think we should be willing to help anybody with a burden. Galatians 6:10, same chapter, says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." All men. Don't you be prejudiced in regard to your burden bearing. Don't bear the burden just of your best friend. Some of you think you're a burden bearer because you bear the burdens of your family. Let me tell you something. You ought to bear the burden of your family. That is a responsibility given to us. It is commanded in the Bible. It is commanded for you to bear the burden of your brothers and sisters and your husband and wife. But wait a minute. God comes along and says, if you really want to be spiritual, go bear the burden of somebody outside your family. We get to thinking that as long as I'm bearing the burden of the ones I'm related to, I'm doing enough. I don't think that's what Christianity is all about. I think it's outside our family, too.
Yes.
You ought to bear the burden. You say, well, I'll bear the burden of my best friend. Maybe you ought to bear the burden of your enemy.
Good.
Do you practice selective burden bearing? There are people in this building that if somebody doesn't have your same skin color, you wouldn't help bear their burden. There is no skin color in heaven. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Let me make it very, very clear to you, everybody's invited to come to this church. This isn't a white church or a black church or a yellow church or a red church. This is God's church. And He died for every soul, no matter what color they were. And I'll tell you, there are people that wouldn't help somebody with their burden if they were not the same color as them, and that's not right. See, it's a good investment. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something to all of you. Anybody here that really takes serious what I'm telling you today, here's one of the best things you could do. Why don't you help bear the burden of those who are burden bearers? You find somebody that's good at bearing burdens. And when you find out they have a burden, help them bear theirs. You become a part of the chain reaction in the process of the blessing of God. You take, for instance, Brother Mike Bajan. He's over in our children's church this morning. There's a man that's a burden bearer. If you find out that Brother Bajan has a need or a burden, you ought to help meet that need. Why? You become partaker of all the burdens that he bears. What an opportunity. I told you all, our old PAS conference, nearly 60 different pastors that come to this place. I like helping them. You say, why? Because those pastors are burden bearers and they go home to their churches, and if I can help bear their burden, I get to be a partaker of every pastor's congregation, every burden that he bears the other 52 weeks out of the year. When my pastor, Dr. Hiles, was alive, I heard him say it from the pulpit time and time again. He said, the greatest burden I carry is paying the bills. And I decided I wanted to do something to help pay the bills. And I decided I would do everything I could to win people to Christ and get them into the church and help them to learn how to give unto the Lord so I could take pressure off of him and take burden off of him in regard to the finances. I watched churches and the disunity in a church, and I decided that while I was under his administration, I'd do everything I could to keep unity in the church. I would have a Sunday school class, and we'd get along with people, and we'd love each other, and we'd do things right. Why? I wanted to bear the burden of the one that was bearing the burden, and I say to all of us, hey, if you see somebody that bears a lot of burdens, help them bear theirs. You become a partaker of the blessing of every burden they bear thereafter. Listen. Let me say it one more time, and I wish I had time to develop it. I think we're to bear our own burdens. You and I ought to look at that burden and say, Lord, with your help, I'm going to make it through this. Don't you sit there and spend all your time feeling sorry for yourself and say, hey, everybody come run to my aid. Now, somebody will come running, but God will need to speak to their heart. And I think sometimes God hesitates at speaking to somebody's heart and helping you when you won't help yourself. Listen, if you got a burden, you can still make it into church. Don't you stay home and whine and miss church when you needed church. You can get help here. You know, we're supposed to help people. Listen, you're going to have to bear some things on your own. For instance, did you know the Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God? There's some things we can't do for you. One day you will give an account to God for you. We can't do that for you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want to help bear your burden. We want to be your friend. You're in a church that wants to help you. But I have to tell you this, if you reject Christ and you don't get saved today, you will bear the burden of hell all on your own. Nobody can go to hell for you. Nobody can accept Jesus Christ for you. You have to do that for yourself. We're here. I want you to get saved. I want you to go to heaven when you die. I want you to live eternally in heaven. But you got to understand something. You have to face God for yourself. You say, well, I would like to have some help with my burden, then do the most important thing, lost person. If you're not saved, get saved today. Trust Jesus Christ today. And you will have started down in a journey where you will have a lot of help. But you need to get saved. And that's something you must do for yourself. Nobody can get saved for you. You say, well, my grandpa was a preacher. I'm glad that he was, but grandpa had to get saved for grandpa's sake, and you have to get saved for your sake. You start out by realizing you have a burden of the responsibility of your sin, and sin will be punished. And if you rejected Christ as Savior, you'll die and go to hell, and then you'll spend your eternity there, and nobody can take that punishment for you. It's a burden that nobody can bear for you. But let me tell you something. Our great Jesus came, and He died for you, the greatest burden bearer ever. And if you will trust Christ as Savior, He will forgive you of your sin. He'll take your sin upon Himself. He'll bear the burden of your sin for you, and you can go to heaven someday when you die. But you have to do that. You have to trust Christ for yourself. Nobody can do it for you. Let me ask you a question. If you die today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Now, this is a church where we want to bear the burdens of people. To me, the greatest burden that an unsaved person could face is the burden of knowing that they're not going to heaven. The burden of knowing that if you died today, you'd go to hell. Well, let us help you bear that burden. You say, how? We'll tell you how to be saved. It's quite simple. But you'll have to choose to do it for yourself.
Yes.
And God will come and He'll save you. Now, let me explain. You don't work to get to heaven. Jesus does it. But you have to receive Him. You have to receive Him. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get saved. Every Christian in the house, why don't you decide that you'll not have those wrong attitudes about bearing the burdens of others, but you'll develop the right attitude about bearing the burdens of others. And why don't all of us decide we'll help bear the burdens of God's people. Let's be a burden-bearing church and so fulfill the law of Christ. That law of love. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.